Welcome to Catholic Messenger Conversations. Joining me today is Paul Herrera, a gifted calligrapher, teacher, and protege of the late Father Edward Kaddish, a renowned calligrapher and head of the St. Ambrose University Art Department. Father Kaddish's artwork appears in schools, churches, St. Ambrose University. I think he even had artwork on exhibit at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, didn't he?
He did. He submitted a painting back in 1950, yes.
Oh, wow. Paul and others started the Art Legacy League to preserve and promote the tradition of art education that Father Kaddish inspired. So let's get into this conversation about this fascinating priest and how he continues to influence our world today. Okay, so are you ready?
Ready.
When did you meet Father Edward Kaddish, and what was your first impression of him?
I met him as a art major in 1967, fresh out of Bettendorf High School.
Wow.
And my art teacher over at Bettendorf High School warned me about Father Kaddish.
Oh.
Because I had taken art for 4 years at Bettendorf. And, yeah. You know, my senior year, I wasn't quite as serious as other years before. And so Don Poston was the man's name, my art teacher at Bettendorf. Uh-huh. And he said, Herrera, when you get over to St. Ambrose and you start learning from Father Kaddish, he's a very serious man, and you're not going to be able to get away with this stuff over with him. And I sure wasn't.
Wow. I mean, so this guy knew Father Kaddish?
He knew his reputation. I don't know if he ever met the man. He never really said. But Father Kaddish made a big splash, and it seems, you know, now that I'm talking with lots of people in the Quad Cities, and here it is more than 30 years since he's passed.
Yeah.
A lot of people knew about Father Kaddish in the Quad Cities. Well, in fact, way beyond the Quad Cities.
Wow. How would you describe your relationship? I mean, tell me about that first meeting with him. And I mean, were you intimidated? Or?
Yes, to say the least. Father Kaddish, well, keep in mind that St. Ambrose College at the time, it wasn't a university yet.
Yeah.
It was all male college.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. The female college students were tucked away safely over at Marycrest.
Oh, in case you guys would cause problems.
Yes, right. Yeah, they were far enough away that we wouldn't be distracted, you see.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, so going into Father Kaddish's first class, he laid down the law. And later on, as I became more of a colleague with him many years later, that he said, well, you have to be tough on the first one because you can always loosen up later. You can't do it the other way around.
Oh, that's cool. So he had a good idea from the start.
Yeah.
What were the three most important things you learned from Father Kaddish?
First one would be discipline. Uh-huh. Second one would be freedom. And the third one would be the balance between the two. Discipline, freedom.
Wow, that's fascinating. How does that work? Give me an example.
Well, for art majors, and I guess you could apply it to a lot of other disciplines, but for art majors, it wasn't all about creativity. Yes, you could be creative, but within certain boundaries. Now, not getting too much into religious art, but Kaddish wrote about how religious art has certain guidelines, and you don't break those guidelines. But you can be certainly very creative within those guidelines.
Oh.
And I think we can talk about that a little bit later,
okay,
where he kind of runs a little bit afoul of that.
Yes, okay. So how would you say that Father Kaddish's art affected his ministry as a priest?
Oh, well, several different ways. One, primarily, when he was, I don't know if you call it called on the carpet by Bishop Hayes, but we talked about this a little bit earlier. And I'm going to implicate the Catholic Messenger, by the way, since this has to do with the Catholic Messenger. When I came along in 1967, Father was well into his Christ in a T-shirt and jeans. In fact, my mother knew about Father Kaddish as well. So she was probably reading the Catholic Messenger.
Good and, for her.
Yeah. And what she said to me was, you know, before I came over to St. Ambrose, you're going to study with that Father Kaddish, she says.
Oh.
And he's, she had a very stern look on her face. He's the one that says that that Christ should be in a T-shirt and jeans. And so I think she was a little concerned about me losing my soul, so to speak. But after I explained to her what his philosophy was and the whole reasoning behind it, it made perfect sense.
What was his philosophy behind that?
Well, artists throughout history had depicted Christ and all the sacred events in their own time frame.
Oh, yeah.
So, in other words, well, Father Kaddish's catchphrase was, we have to take Christ out of the deep freeze of history. In other words, if we keep him and all the events 2,000 years prior to us, then we're not responsible for his crucifixion or everything. And in fact, we actually are by our behavior today.
Wow. So how would we depict Christ today then?
Oh, gosh. Well, just in modern dress, whatever the customary dress is of today, and keeping in mind that Christ wouldn't be wearing a Brooks Brothers suit, you know, he would be just a common man.
Do you think he'd have tattoos?
Perhaps, yeah.
How about any studs in his nose or his ears?
Well, I'm not sure. I will tell you this, though. One other famous thing that Father Kadish promoted in his watercolor class were the crazy heads. And there was a watercolor exercise in contour and composition and contrast. And his recommendation was that you think of something wild, but use the human head as a stepping point and just go from there. He would recommend you do, oh, half the face blue and the other half yellow and perhaps some green hair. Just do something really wild. Well, you know, look at us today. That's not so wild anymore.
No, it's not. Well, so in reverse, how did Father Kadish's ministry as a priest affect his art?
Well, let me put it this way. When he was given the letters by the Vatican, and this primarily had to do with Christ in a t-shirt and the modern dress,
Oh, okay. He
was told to cease and desist because he was printing up holy cards. And in fact, our group, the Art Legacy League, has a series of at least 92 holy cards that he printed on his catfish press. And they are all in two color, and they're original designs by Father Kadish. And so he was given the letter by the Vatican representative out of Washington, D.C., saying cease and desist distributing these holy cards. Because back when I was in Catholic school, grade school, we got those as little rewards for getting a good grade on spelling bee or mathematic test or something. But so he
But what was the Vatican's objection to the depiction of Christ in jeans and jeans?
Well,
jeans and t-shirt.
Well, Father had made quite a splash back in the 1950s. I think it was around 1958. There was a big confab of journalists up in Wisconsin. And he specifically asked, there's a letter in our archives, specifically asked to be one of the first presenters. And so that's where he said, we've got to give Christ a shave and a haircut. Take off these shower curtain robes and put him in a t-shirt and make him a modern man. And there was just a gasp throughout the crowd. I mean, it was written. It appeared in newspapers all over the country.
Wow.
And so Vatican got wind of that, apparently, and said, this guy's a radical priest. You've got to put the muzzle on him, you know. So Bishop Ralph Hayes called him in on the carpet and said, you got to cease and desist this, okay? Now, a little background on Bishop Hayes.
Yeah.
He was a bishop out in Helena, Montana. Father Kadish grew up in Butte, Montana, and he was sent to the orphanage from there. And, of course, he came through St. Ambrose as an undergrad, got his master's at Iowa, and then went over to the seminary in Rome. Well,
okay.
In comes Bishop Ralph Hayes from Helena, Montana, and he's the superior of the seminary over in Rome. And so Kadish had certain antics over there too, but because he was basically what we call a non-traditional vocation, he was in his 30s already.
Oh,
he had lived
okay.
on the, he made a living for himself on the streets of Chicago, Al Capone's Chicago,
right.
As a sign painter and a jazz musician, you know. So he sampled a little bit of life before he ever went to the seminary. So bringing this back to the t-shirt and jeans, Kadish came here back to St. Ambrose as a music instructor, first of all.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. He started his art department in 1939, shortly after he came back as a music instructor.
Oh, wow.
So he started distributing these holy cards, getting back to the holy cards, in the mid-1950s, making this big splash, and then Vatican said, cease and desist. Well, shortly after Father Kadish came back to St. Ambrose, in comes Bishop Hayes, Diocese of Davenport.
Oh,
the same
God.
Bishop Hayes that knew all of his tricks over
the
seminary in Rome.
Seminary. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So a bishop called him in. Father said, yes, I will cease and desist. But here's where the Catholic messenger gets implicated.
I want to hear this.
6 months later, another letter from the same representative of the Vatican saying, Bishop Hayes, we understand that Father Kadish has stopped distributing the holy cards, but he is now having the images printed in the Catholic messenger.
Oh.
So following the, what was it, the letter of the law, but not the spirit, and yeah. Bishop Hayes stood up for him the second time. He said, well, you know, while a lot of the faculty and the clergy don't necessarily agree with Father Kadish, there's really nothing wrong with any of this.
Bishop Hayes said that?
Bishop Hayes said that. He stood up for him,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So he allowed that to appear in the Catholic Messenger then?
Yes.
Gosh, we were rabble-rousers back then, I guess. No, actually, it was a good point, wasn't it? I mean, it was a way of being able to show, hey, we're committed to the faith, but
yes.
We need to look at things in a little bit different light.
Yeah, and actually, you know, if you look at the holy cards now, there's really nothing wrong with them at all. No. It just was a little too much for the 1950s, apparently.
Right. Wow. A lot of conformity back then, right?
Yes.
Maybe that was part of it?
Right, yeah.
Wow. If you had to choose one artwork among the many of Father Kadish's artworks, what would you choose?
I think it would be the Theophora, the icon that he painted in 1950 and he submitted to the Met.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of... it's a modern painting. It's a modern icon. The name is written in Greek, Theophora, which means he brings the light. And so, essentially, it's a white Jewish Madonna holding a black Christ child in her lap.
Right.
And there are all sorts of color connections between the two gowns, and Christ is holding a green apple, signifying him as the new Adam, the unripened fruit. But he also is holding a white mask, hangs from his arm. So essentially, he represents all races.
Oh.
And she is, of course, in history, a Jewish woman. And so she has the Star of David on her shoulder sewn. But Father Kadish was in the seminary, going back to the seminary years, started in 1935 and came back to St. Ambrose in 1939. Well, he was there while Mussolini was in power, and he used to talk about Mussolini being on the streets and over the broadcast radio and so on. And then, of course, Adolf Hitler was coming to power in Germany at the time. And so Father Kadish came away from Rome. It was shortly after, in fact, I think it was the month before he was ordained in 1938 in December. November was the Kristallnacht, where the Nazis just terrorized all the Jews. So he witnessed all of that, you see.
Wow.
And so some of that representation is incorporated in Theophora, the icon.
Tell me about that apple. The unripened apple. Why an unripened apple?
Well, Christ is a child. He's represented as a child.
Okay.
He hasn't grown into his maturity yet, you see.
Okay.
But there are lots of artistic representations in that particular icon, which, by the way, is on display in Christ the King Chapel on St. Ambrose campus.
Very good. Yeah, in fact, there's a gallery named after him, isn't there, at St. Ambrose here?
Yes. Yes.
And when is that open? I mean, do people have to have an invitation or make an appointment to
At St. Ambrose? No. It has certain hours, and I think I've made a broadcast announcement for KALA when it's open.
Okay.
But keep in mind, Father Kadish is not displayed all the time there.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Where we step in with the Art Legacy League. We are alumni and former students of Father Kadish, and we have quite a lot of his original work. Stained glass, slate inscriptions, watercolor paintings, and so forth. And I'm there Monday through Friday in the mornings. We have a website, www.artlegacyleague.org, and so just make an appointment and.
That's
you can
cool.
Stop at
I looked.
Time.
I looked at your website, and you've got some of the images kind of. That are shown across the screen of his artworks, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little representation. And what I like, too, at your Art Legacy League is how you have, at least when I visited there, you have like an explanation from Father about, you know, a painting or about brush strokes or something like that, right?
Isn't yes.
It?
Yeah. By the time I came along and knew him as a freshman, he was publishing his seminal work, The Origin of the Seraph.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's very important to calligraphers and type designers. A lot of modern type designers know of Father Kadish.
Yeah, can you explain that, the origin of the serif, how that, I mean, because that's kind of an interesting story in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, well, everybody who has, I can say, everyone who has a proper lettering education, whether they be typographers or calligraphers, knows of the Trajan inscription in Rome. And since Father Kadish went to the seminary in Rome, he had access to the Trajan inscription, which is at the base of a monument to the Emperor Trajan. Now, the importance of the Trajan inscription is that it has what most everyone considers the pinnacle of the Imperial Roman letter form, the Latin alphabet, in other words, which we still use now today. And so Father Kadish was able to study that, and there were all sorts of theories of how the Romans designed their letters. They didn't write down a book saying, here's how we designed the letter.
Yeah.
So there were lots of theories throughout history. None of them were written by sign painters. Father Kadish, being a sign painter in Chicago, saw the inscription and said, the Romans were sign painters.
Wow.
And of course, that was the other thing that shocked the lettering world, was how could this guy come up with this theory? Where did he go to school? Well, a little Catholic college at Davenport, Iowa, and a state university is where he got his master's. So he wrote his theory. No one bought it. And so what he had to do was publish his own books with his theory and do all of the research and back it all up. And so now Origin of the Serif is a must-have book for anybody that's serious about lettering.
Wow. It wasn't even Jobs?
Jobs, yeah.
Wasn't he inspired with his type fonts or something?
The connection there. There's a Kadish connection with Steve Jobs. Yeah,
yeah,
very good. When I showed up as a freshman here, there was a young curly-haired Trappist monk sitting in the back of the room working on his calligraphy. Well, he was from Portland, Oregon, and he was an understudy with Lloyd Reynolds, who was in charge of the art department at Reed College. He'd started the art department there, much like Father Kadish started the art department here at St. Ambrose.
Oh, okay.
They were contemporaries. Well, Professor Reynolds was getting ready to retire, but he had this Trappist monk come over and study with Father Kadish, and there was correspondence. And there was a little deal made there, unknown to Father Robert Palladino, who was the Trappist monk. And so Father Robert didn't know he was going to inherit the art department at Reed College.
Oh, wow.
So Father Robert was in the back of the room. We got to be friends. He was working on his lettering. Father Robert was a very serious man. He was a very skilled individual. He spent 6 months with Father Kadish and was sent back to Reed College, took over the art department. Professor Reynolds retired. While Father Robert was teaching there, in walked Steve Jobs. Just kind of walked into the class, didn't sign up for it, didn't pay for it. He had dropped out of Reed by then, but was so influenced by Father Robert's letter forms and the importance of design and so forth. He writes about it in his commencement speech at Stanford University. He gives that calligraphy class credit for the Apple computer having type fonts. And as Jobs puts it, since Microsoft just copied Apple, that's the reason for all of these type fonts that we have on computers now.
Wow. Yeah. What would you say motivated Father Kadish?
Oh, I would say his vocation. He just came as a workaholic. You know, his liturgical work. Yeah. Incidentally, going back to the letter from the Vatican, Father said many times as I was working with him over the 12 years that I knew him, he would say many times that at that point, if he had to make a decision between his vocation and his art, he would have quit art and just been a priest.
Wow.
That's how seriously he took his vocation.
That's amazing.
But he was also involved in so many other things, too.
You know? Why does he still have such a great following of admirers today?
I think it's because of the work he did with the Roman alphabet. A lot of people know him because of that worldwide. But people are surprised when I give a lecture about his life and times, about his being a jazz musician. They figured something about the sign painting had to work in with that. But his being an orphan when he was age 12, he and his twin brother and the younger set of twins, he had every excuse to be a failure, you know.
Yeah.
He had every excuse, but he just wouldn't accept it. And so he went on. It was a driving force within him somehow. And as I knew him, he was already a priest. He had been a priest for many years. And I think it had to do with his spirituality.
Do you think that was developed at the orphanage, St. Vincent's?
Yes, it was. Because when he, by his own admission, when he was in Montana as a young kid, the family was Catholic. His parents were from Croatia. They immigrated over.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't always go to church. He was a little bit of a wild soul back in those days. But when he went to the orphanage, he met Father John Laffey, who was the priest there at the orphanage.
Oh.
And so he was the one that kind of gathered the boys in and brought them to church on a regular basis.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's amazing. So how did the Art Legacy League come about? What inspired that?
Well, we were retired. So some of us, you know, had nothing else to do, but we were doing our artwork, and a good friend of mine had a lot of Father Kadish's artwork, and so we saw, let's see, how can I put this? We saw the legacy of Father Kadish beginning to fade at St. Ambrose.
Okay.
And so we thought it was a legacy well worth keeping. Granted, we don't have computers. We do things the old-fashioned way with a brush and paint and pencil and paper and all of that and calligraphy pens, you know. We don't rely on computers, in other words. We start with calligraphy. But an interesting story there was there was a graduate of St. Ambrose who was given a Fulbright and earned a Fulbright, I should say, and went over to Egypt to design an Arabic typeface. Well, he got on the computer, bright young man. But the professor there said, listen, before you do this on the computer, you need to take a calligraphy class first. You need to go see a friend of mine and spend some time with him. And so we believe, the Art Legacy League, that lettering starts with calligraphy. Lettering starts with drawing the letters from the inside out, knowing the structure and all of that.
Wow, that's just amazing. I'm thinking that we're getting close to our end time, so I just have a couple of more questions.
Okay.
I'm wondering, how does your own artwork reflect or build on the work of Father Kadish?
Well, in the later years, when I was traveling with Father and being his teaching assistant and so forth, as he'd go around the country and do workshops, which is what I do now, back home here in Davenport, I would do a lot of his inscription work. Because he had enough of a reputation that he would get inscription work from Los Angeles County Museum, Wichita State University, Reed College, and other places. And so it would be too much for one man to do, especially since he was also printing his books and so on. So I was just basically a mallet and chisel and, you know, doing all that. So I've kind of continued on with that. I've done a few watercolors in the past. But primarily I'm doing the mallet and chisel and the workshops that I do, since people know of Father Kadish and that I worked with him very closely, I do brush writing workshops and inscription cutting workshops.
I mean, your inscription cuttings are, they look to me very much like Father Kadish's artwork. I mean, I've got St. Joseph hanging in my office. It's beautiful. And we have the Catholic Messenger in that famous...
Petrarch, alphabet that Father had to... invented, yeah.
Yeah.
I was so struck by the Catholic Messenger continuing on that tradition that I just went ahead and cut that, and I just offered it to you.
Yeah, it's beautiful and still hanging in our office. One last question. What do you think, what impact does calligraphy have on the world today?
Oh, I think a lot of people are coming back to it. This computer business is all well and good. It really is, you know, and there are a lot of positive things to it. But like I said earlier, sometimes there's just a little too much of influence. Young people rely too much on the computer.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me. A good friend of mine, John Downer, lives in Iowa City. And we did a workshop for some typographers out in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done three or four more since. But these are young people that work on computers. And we offer a class in brush writing. And the class fills up every time.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're seeking something besides the computer.
Wow. One last question. If you had an opportunity to speak with him today, what would you tell Father Kadish?
Oh, I'd tell him thanks a lot.
That's great. That's a perfect ending for today's conversation. Join us next time.